claims there'll be nothing to do till her daughter says she'll be dead with you. While foreign affairs are screwing rotten, like morale has hit rock bottom. Dying embers stand forgotten. Talks of peace were being tried.
Steve Elkins back in the saddle again. It is October 23rd, 2022. 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Thanks for all the information people are sending in and emailing me, I'm sure. And the phone calls today about my kidney stones. You've had experiences looking for something that's going to work for the future. I don't want to go down that road ever again. That was misery. It's even hard to explain. It's so bad. It's something you just don't want to ever happen again. And I've had, probably five or six times. But it's been there. I've had years of lapses of nothing happening. And moving down to Florida, I know the hydration thing. You got to drink a lot of water down here. It's hot. And I learned that. Drink a lot of water. But I don't know. I'm going to have to do some other changes because I'm not going back that direction again. Let's talk about some different things here. We got 16 days till November 8th elections here. My calendar is marked. It says stolen election question mark. There actually is no logical reason. No logical reason for a Democrat incumbent to get back in office. No reason whatsoever. And what can a newcomer Democrat really do when they don't recognize the failure of their own party here? We have inflation. We have high rent. Gas prices, much, much higher than when Donald Trump was in here. We're still outrageous out here. I think we're $3.29. I don't know where you are. But California, just under $6. I think $5.82 around Ron's area there. Our food prices have doubled. Everything is going up. The shortages are still there. Isn't it amazing? Oh, also the shortages, what's off the radar? What happened to the baby formula shortages? What happened there? How about the Tampax? Remember that? Shortage Tampax. Yeah. Bottled water, all these certain things here. All these shortages, which are all man-made shortages. Inflation, again, like I said, the inflation was the highest we've ever seen in 40-plus years here. So there's no logical reason for a Democrat really to get in. I mean, what can he campaign on? Look at the economy. It stinks. It sucks. It's terrible. What are you going to campaign on? Your border issues? It's porous. It's wide open. More people are flooding in. Our taxes are going up to pay for the illegals. I mean, what do you have to really reach out and grab the voter with to say, yes, I'm your man. I'm going to fix the problems. You guys are the flipping problem. You are the problem. amazing. Amazing. Well, let's talk about Steve Bannon. Watching Steve Bannon a little bit here on War Room for Real America's Voice here. I had it also marked down on my calendar for the day he would be sentenced, and I was going back and forth with Mike Rivera. Said, oh, geez, they're going to stick it to Bannon. They're going to stick it to this guy. Not only just to set an example precedent for others, because they're shaking everybody down right now. I mean, look, grabbing your cell phones, your raids on your home, getting your documents. Have you found anything? Evidently not. It's just an intimidation factor is what they're doing right now, trying to squeeze people to come forward to say, I got something for you on Donald Trump. Okay, I'll give you something. You want something to disqualify him? Here's this. But it's not working. Nobody's caving in. So these illegal searches and these illegal raids on people's homes and taking their cell phones away, violating all your personal rights here. But they can do it because they're the corrupt, they're the rogue FBI, and they really don't stand for the rule of law. They're outside the rule of law, just like the CIA is outside the rule of law. They don't have to adhere to the Constitution and the amendments. They don't give a damn. They really don't. And they're rogue, and they don't really care. They're Nazis. Yeah, we can say that. They're Nazis. All right, they're Nazis. We have communists in this country. It's funny that my mother came here from East Germany. She escaped from East to the West, finally got to the United States like 10 years later, became a U.S. citizen in the right way, took citizenship classes. Yeah, she had to take classes at the high school to become a citizen. So she became a citizen, reading, writing, speaking English, everything. She's an American citizen here. And before she left to the United States, because she was working in Berlin at the time for a modeling agency. My mother was a model, a runway model, believe it or not. Yeah, my mom was a runway model. So in garments and advertising and different things like that, she got to go to the United States and more education there. But she was told before she left Berlin, they said, you know, the communists, the Nazis, are coming to America. And she said, no, that's not happening. America, freedom, Statue of Liberty, all that stuff. Oh, no, the Nazis will, they will never let the Nazis in. And they said, no, the Nazis are coming to America. They told her that. In the last conversation I had with my mother a couple weeks ago, we went back and forth. And she said, I said, remember that conversation? She says, yeah, I remember it. And the Nazis are here, aren't they? They're here. They're here. So you have Joseph McCarthy, you know, going after communism, go after the Reds in Hollywood. The Reds are in Washington. They're right there. They're in Washington. The communists, no, just right there. There they are. I have no respect for any of them anymore, really. I mean, a handful of politicians appear to be caring about our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Other than that, I haven't heard enough political opposition to anything. I haven't heard enough. I haven't seen any politician stand on the milk crate or whatever crate and the speeches and prominent to saying this is wrong. This is illegal what's happening here. This president is a tyrant. We are under a dictatorship. What is wrong with saying the obvious, what is actually happening in this country? Why can't they say it? I say it. They're in a better position to get people to say, yes, you're right. Now let's do something. Let's get the cavalry here. If you wonder why there's a huge gate going around the Capitol, guess what? Because it's coming, baby. The tyranny that you thought would never happen in this country, the Nazis are coming after us. They're coming after us. And I think only a revolution, a true revolution, can end this. And I expect my politicians, I expect these politicians to stand up for the rule of law and to stand up for the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And you fat heads up on the hill there in the Supreme Court, yeah, whose back pocket are you in? You haven't done your job either. I'm sick and tired of these people. So Steve Bannon, I thought for sure they'd really stick it to this guy. He criticized the January 6th committee, the investigative committee, which he had every right to do. It's his freedom of speech. It's his First Amendment right. He can criticize. He can say whatever he wants to. First of all, he's accurate. It's an accurate statement. He was penalized for it. The January 6th committee, I call the omission commission, is an illegal committee. It is a sham. It is biased. And it's looking for a crime that was missed by the Department of Justice. They need something to disqualify Donald Trump. Flat out, that's their goal. So I guess my question I'm going to ask Ron tomorrow, I texted back and forth to him, is if the Department of Justice has done an investigation already and found no wrongdoing by Donald Trump, of insurrection or inciting an insurrection. Therefore, he's clean. So why are, how do these people in Congress feel that it's okay to go outside the Department of Justice and organize their own biased Trump-hating committee? Because that's pretty much what it is. It's a biased, I hate Trump committee. That's all it is. It's so obvious. And the witnesses they find, well, I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You were messing around. Yeah, right. It's embarrassing. And he called it out. He called it out. Well, he only got 4 months. Surprising. 4 months. $6,500 fine. But my question from the very beginning is, Steve Bannon was not part of the Trump administration when the Capitol riots happened. He was not a part of the Trump team. He left, what, August 18th, 2017. August 18th, 2017. Steve Bannon left the Trump camp. So how does this January 6th Omission Commission feel that they have probable cause to call on Steve Bannon to appear before their little biased committee to answer questions? He wasn't part of the Trump administration. If he had been part of the Trump administration, he would be granted executive privilege, conversation between him and the president. There would be a lot of conversation that said, no, we can't talk about that. Can't talk about that. There was no crime committed on behalf of Steve Bannon. I wouldn't have gone either. You subpoena me? I'm not going to go. No. And I'm going to give you the reason why I'm not going to go. I wasn't part of the administration. Therefore, you have no probable cause. Simple as that. Simple as that. 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. So down here, we're getting lots of flyers sent out right now. I'm not sure why. Ron DeSantis, I don't know why. Is he fearful he's going to get the boot here for being our governor? I can't imagine. Florida's doing fine. We didn't follow the nonsense from the CDC, the FDA, and everybody else, the NIH. We was the WHO, the World Health Organization. We didn't follow any of their mandates and their protocols, what they wanted us to do. We didn't shut down. We just kept going. He fought back. He pushed it back against the mass and all these mandates, and made sure if you know your company says you have to have the shot, no, you're not going to lose your job. You're going to get fired over this. And he did quite a bit for us out here, but it did take the medical profession in certain areas to break the back of the hospitals. And I thank you, my colleagues, for stepping out and saying, mm-mm, "You're not going to make a decision on behalf of my body. I know what's right for myself. I know what's going to go in my body and what shouldn't go in my body. And something that has experimental next to it is not going to go into my body. Never. Emergency use authorization, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. It's not part of the contract I signed with you." And I pointed this to many people. You know, if your company was pushing you to take these very dangerous shots. Most companies have an orientation, and you get a little handbook. In that handbook, there is nothing to say that they will dictate any kind of medical treatments at all. It's just unheard of. It's nothing that's ever in a conversation in a book handbook for a company. It's not in there. So that's what you need to cling to and say, no, you're trying to alter the contract of what you want. You're being forced to do so. And there's also a financial incentive, of course, for the hospitals and other companies probably to say, yeah, I'm going to force these people to do this. And you'll give me what? You'll give me how much money? Great. Well, yeah, I'll force them. But it's doesn't fall into your handbook. Therefore, it is a write-in, and it's not legal. You don't have to accept it. I need more lawsuits against the corporations that are pushing this. And it should have actually been a red flag from the from day one. Whenever a mandate goes out and it says that all these people must comply with a mandate, but there are written in exclusions, these people are excluded from following the mandate, and these people are excluded, and these people are excluded. As soon as you see that there is an exclusion group to the mandates that they want to force on everybody else, you should have caught that. Should have caught that from day one, just saying, uh-uh. Now I know this is not about health. This is an agenda tack to this. And later on, well, of course, we all understand Agenda 2030, the TED speech by Bill Gates. We can depopulate, bring the population down 10 to 15% if we use vaccines effectively. Event 201. It's there. The pieces of this puzzle came really fast together for me. They really did. And I think one of the other big red flags is if you ever heard somebody saying, take this, it's safe and effective, but if something goes terribly wrong, you can't sue us. I think that's enough red flag to saying, no, it's, I'm not going to put it in my mouth then. There's no way I'm going to take this. If you're not going to take any kind of responsibility here, for harm caused by something, no, I'm not going to take it. So again, there are many, many, there are many red flags we should have caught from the very beginning. And then along the way, we see the mask mandates and how the political elite here don't have to follow the mandates they push on you to wearing masks. Again, there's so many pieces of the puzzle that came together, and I'm not sure those who are still following these ridiculous mask mandates, and I see them. I laugh at them when I'm in the store. I kind of whisper to myself, oh, there's another mask hole, another mask hole, another mask hole. They're ignorant people, and they'll never be educated, so you can just forget it. Wasting your time talking to these people. Just walk away, because if these people were told to hop around on one leg while wearing the mask to keep from getting COVID, they probably would. It'd be funny as hell, one of those America's Funniest Videos. But they're out of reach. They're out of touch. They don't get it. They never will get it. That's what happens when you're uneducated. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Murr in Wisconsin. Welcome, Murr.
Hi, Steve. Hey, you take a vitamin C supplement, I guess, right?
Yeah, I do. Plus, I do eat a lot of citrus. I have an orchard. So I've got orange trees. I've got grapefruit, stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Natural sources are the best.
Yep.
Because ascorbic acid, and I had told you this before, because it's really a kind of strong memory with me whenever anyone talks about kidney stones, is, you know, when my little family was young and we were, you know, traveled to visit my parents now and then, and my father, my being the health nut, asked me about taking vitamin C. And I, you know, that's good. You're going to start taking it, but make sure it's from natural sources, not just straight ascorbic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he didn't listen. And so what happens is the ascorbic acid binds with calcium, whether it be from dairy or supplements.
Right.
And I told you this, and so it's really important, really important. He went to his doctor. He was starting to get stones, and so on my next visit, he's trying to blame me for it, right? And I said, no, I told you, has to be from natural sources. So really look into that, though, because, you know, a lot of these supplements, they'll put a lot of that in there. Ascorbate isn't as bad, of course. You know, ascorbic is the one you want to avoid. And if there's a little bit, as long as there's, you know, GNC had one lozenge thing, and they probably still do, different ones do, that will have, like, acerola cherries and rose hips and green peppers and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they might have some ascorbic acid, but the straight stuff, that's industrial strength, you know?
You know, no, I wonder if, I never hear of Hispanic people. I know they eat a lot of capsaicin, you know, the hot peppers, all that hot stuff. I never hear of Mexican people getting kidney stones. I wonder if there's anything with capsaicin, anything with in that it prevents a kidney stone. I wonder if there's anything there in that. Just curious.
Yeah, it might be, but it's really important, you know, like I was saying, this combination, because I've seen that happen before. And some people try to say, oh, no, that's, well, yeah, it is true. And I've seen it firsthand, you know. So it's just really a good thing to look into. And especially
I'll do
for
that.
Men, you know, I guess it's more prominent with men. But you said your sister and your mother have problems with that, too.
And my daughter and my daughter and my grandmother, my mother, All the females on our side have problems with this. Yeah.
I wonder what kind of vitamin C supplements they're taking.
I don't know.
Would be interesting to know. And they probably like milk like you do, or dairy products, I would think.
Well,
maybe.
No, my daughter doesn't. She's not a big milk person. I'm the milk person, but she's not. And she actually was hospitalized not too long ago.
Wow.
She said, "Dad, I was. They had to do lithotripsy, and I was in the hospital." And I said, "Yeah, I." So she's had several incidents too, but I don't know. I don't know more.
Yeah, well, yeah. Look at everything that'll help. And I haven't had coffee for more than 3 years now, and I always liked coffee, and I drank too much of it probably. So without it now, you just on more of an even keel, and it's been more than 2 years since I've had chocolate. And some people say, "Don't call me again if you don't need chocolate."
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But sugar is Paul is right. Sugar is,
oh, I agree,
is one of the main problems because they put it in everything.
Agree.
And especially
it's a cocaine. It's a cocaine. It's very addicting. It's a terrible thing. Yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing we don't hear about a whole lot is the triangle trade, right? And it was Jews mostly getting the slaves and running them, but they were also running sugar. The slaves would grow the sugar cane, and they'd take the sugar to Europe, but primarily it was Jews again would make it into rum in the Northeast. Rum was like the oil of its day. And so that's very loaded with sugar, because it is sugar. You know, it's made from sugar. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they would pay the sailors in rum. You know? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's not good for the diet. And you can kind of see the effects down through the generations in both Europe and here from so much sugar.
Yeah.
And that was the pure
variety. Yeah, it's a toxin. And I talked about this because as we get closer and closer to the holidays, you and I have talked about this before, and I've mentioned it, you know, as how sugar suppresses the immune system. And, of course, during the holiday season, I hate these office parties when you go, you know, people bringing in all the cookies and cakes and all this sugar, all this bad stuff here. And then, of course, you're drinking alcohol, which also suppresses your immune system, and you're staying up.
Too.
Yeah, and it throws off your sleep cycle here. You don't have good REM sleep anymore, and so you know your body's just vulnerable now to get infection, and we don't have a cold and flu season. What we have is a season of depletion. It's depletion of vitamins and minerals. That's what we have, and that's what makes your body vulnerable to getting illness.
Well, it's junk food season, but it's also indoor air. Usually the people that are eating all the junk aren't out getting the exercise either.
That's true. You know, and they're not getting outside. They're not getting vitamin D sunshine. Yeah, there's lots of things we could do.
You have people out on ski slopes or out surfing wherever you are. You know,
yeah.
They're not sick with flu. And we talked about this, too, before, how the CDC, being an agency, they used to claim 36 million cases of flu. Well, when people have the flu, they don't go to the doctor. They just...
No.
Take a couple days off work, get better, go back to work. And doctors never report cases of flu to the CDC. This is all made up.
Yep.
So these last couple of years when they were saying, oh, there wasn't any flu, well, there never was before. They always made up the numbers. They just didn't make up the numbers this year.
So, yeah. No, I agree with you 100% on that, 100%. It's a man-made, it's an industry.
Yep.
It's a lucrative industry, and then the idea of, coming out, I saw it from the beginning. I didn't know this pandemic was going to come with COVID, but I saw the fraud in the flu shot, calling it a vaccine, when I knew people were taking it. And I said, no, my own body. I'll. Excuse me.
Yeah, you all right?
But I'm coughing. Just I'll rely on my own immune system. And I'm not going to take some placebo and something I know is not going to work. And then when I saw people taking the flu shots and still getting the flu, and you think that would just, they'd wake up and say, you know, I took the flu shot. I took it early, as they said, 2 weeks before the season actually starts, if there's even a season. But they take the shot and they still get the flu and it's still just as bad. But then they come back and say, well, if you hadn't taken it, your flu would have been worse than it was, so it does help a little bit. Again,
try it and see. Don't take it and see
well,
what happens.
It's just redefining the definition of is again. We've left the definition of what a true vaccine is, and now we've included to minimize or decrease symptoms. That's all it is now, especially these two, the flu and the COVID. It's junk. It's junk.
It turns out vaccines were never good. This is just part of the Goyim management. Vaccine makes cow's blood. Right? I mean, you look at Ingrid Castle's work and her mother's work before her. You know, we never needed vaccines. This was just part of the hype of the allopathy.
Yeah, I agree. Agreed. Yeah. Well, I'm done. I'm not going to get any more. It's been...
Right. No needles coming.
Well, since I was in the military, and unfortunately at the military at that time, you couldn't refuse anything.
Nope.
So they jabbed me a few times here, and I got yellow fever. I'll never forget yellow fever shot. And that... that one hurts, the deltoid. It goes in the muscle, and you talk about a major inflammatory reaction with your shoulder, the deltoid muscle there. And then, of course, these idiots knew that you got it, and they thought it'd be kind of fun to come and punch you in the arm.
Yeah. And then there's the one they give in the buttocks that I don't know what it was. I haven't heard anybody say what it was, but many different soldiers say, and it's a big, hard lump, and they tell you have to roll around on your butt so it breaks it down and spreads it through you. Great.
I'm not sure what that one is.
Mm-mm. I don't know what it was, but I've heard that quite often. You know, people, they have to run like a gauntlet of all these pneumatic needles down there.
Yeah, you know? And again, they're all protected. You know, there's nothing. You can't sue the government. You can't sue the government. The government is never punished by a monetary payout. They're not punished because the money they pay out is your money. It's your tax dollars.
We're the ones that have to be punished. We're always the ones that have to be punished.
That's right. Exactly. All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay. All right.
Speaking of which, when Merv was talking about we are always getting punished, here is the meme of the week. This guy, I don't know who he is, standing there, and he's got a little puzzled look on his face, and the question comes out, just curious, how many countries tax the shit out of their citizens so they can send money to the United States? Good question. I don't know any other countries that are being taxed like that and sending money to us. Don't see it. It's not happening. Good meme. That's probably the meme of the week I'd have to bring to you here. Again, off the radar here, Donald Trump's documents, classified documents, the whole run-up to the theatrical raid itself and having the cameras there and all the agents and 35 agents and the SWAT team and the SWAT vehicle and just, oh, it was so cool. And Donald Trump must be a bad guy because they wouldn't be sending this huge army of people over there to get what they need. Of course, they did not follow the search warrant. They took whatever the hell they wanted. Tax documents, you name it, we took it. We got your visa. We got this. We got that. That's not on the search warrant. But again, we're talking about the rogue FBI, the agency that works outside the rule of law. So you don't hear any more about those documents. They were such a big thing. It was huge in the news. The documents, these are classified documents. They laid them all on the floor, except they forgot to blur them. So if they were classified documents, I got to see them. I got to read the first part of it, you know. What an idiot group these people really are. Forgot to blur it. You forgot to blur the classified stuff here. We all got to see it. Okay, on top of that, what else we got here? The lawsuit at Camp Lejeune, there's a big crime there going on because if this truly happened, poisonous water, there are people who must have done the water samples, who hid the results of the water samples. Therefore, we have a true government conspiracy here. Knowledge of a wrongdoing and covering up of health, a detrimental health situation here. We have a true conspiracy here. Now we're going to pay people out. Of course, again, you can't punish the government. Their monetary payouts, your tax dollars, they feel no pain. Short commercial break. We'll be right back. Just sick of the song.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product.
For your jazz collection. Something else interesting came to my attention. The first time I've seen this commercial on TV here, now pointing a finger at acetaminophen. Trying to point a finger at autism that pregnant women taking acetaminophen while pregnant cause the autism. So I'm trying to push away from the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella shots there, the vaccine, that definitely we know has caused the autism. So they're going to try to place blame on somebody else, but it's not the industry. Because, you know, if they start down that road here and if they were actually honest and said, yes, okay, this shot's caused these children to, I know several children that were normal children. And after that MMR shot, they turned out to be totally different kids, silent, speech, mute, hitting their head. Very sad, very sad. So I know causation is definitely there. The MMR shot caused their autism. So they're now trying to push off to saying acetaminophen during present pregnancy is the cause of your child's autism. It's not the MMR shot. But we have already known that because the data from one of the investigators, I'm trying to remember what his name was, Thompson, I think, something Thompson. George Thompson, I think it's George Thompson, talking about they'd actually done some studies and actually split the MMR up into three separate shots, measles, mumps, and rubella, and spaced them out. And of course, they found out the data came back and said, hey, guess what? No autism. So the causation is the cocktail of having the 3-in-1. That is your causation for the autism. But those records were destroyed and, again, suppressed. Because, well, they wouldn't lie to us, would they? They would never lie to us. They care so much about us. Something else interesting here. I thought it was off the radar. I thought we were done with this topic here. We haven't heard the term in a while. But gain of function, it's back in the news. Gain of function is back in the news. It appears that Boston University, funded by the NIH, who I said has zero credibility, funded by the NIH, has been funding the scientist at Boston University gain of function research on the COVID virus, SARS-CoV-2. What they've taken is the original SARS-CoV-2, and they've decided to play around and tweak it and sex it up with the Omicron virus, which is evidently the most prolific and most infectious of the variants. And they've decided to tweak this thing and make it bad, and there's no therapeutic value whatsoever for us. It's simply they've made another secret weapon, a bioweapon. That's exactly what they've just created. Now you get the higher-ups of NIH going, we had no idea, we had no idea. Well, if you have no idea, then you should be fired. That money is our money. It's going for investigative. It's going for research to betterment of medicine and help mankind, not to tweak and make bioweapons. It's time for them to go bye-bye, along with the CDCP, the FDA, and I'm sure there's a handful of other government umbrella agencies that need to go bye-bye, but it's not going to happen under the commander and thief, Joe Biden, the tyrant. It's not going to happen. So, question, we got 16 more days till the November 8th elections, the midterms here. Are the Republicans going to take back the House and the Senate? Getting worked up here, coughing. Is this a huge MAGA setup? A huge MAGA setup. Are they going to steal it again? Boldly and say, what are you going to do about it? Are they trying to push the MAGA group to stop being civil? They've been civil disobedience. They've been polite about it. They've been too nice about it. Are they being pushed to go outside now and create more havoc? Which would be what the Biden administration probably wants. Think about it. They can call their National Guard. They can call emergency. That's why they have the barbed wire fence around their Capitol. Anyway, they're planning on something here. They're planning on it. The real tyranny hasn't really come yet. It's going to come. So I wonder if this is the MAGA setup here to push these people to say, we just stole it, and what are you going to do about it? Now push them to violence. Push them to violence, and then a need for calling on National Guard, and maybe even calling on those guys in green, the UN peacekeepers. I tell you what, when you see those guys on your street in their uniforms and you start seeing their vehicles, you know it. It's coming. Get ready. Get prepared. We have two choices. Wife and I are talking about today. Two choices. Would you want to live your life, the remaining of your life, wherever you are, if you're in your 30s, your 40s, would you want to live the remainder of your life as a slave or fighting to defend your sovereignty, your nation, your way of life, your quality of life, your constitution, your way of living? Isn't that worth defending? I think so. I'm right there. If it comes down to it, I'm a man of my word. I am going to be right there. I will not back down. I'd rather die than be a slave. Flat out, I'd rather die than be a slave. 512-248-8252. It's kind of quiet night out there tonight. 512-248-8252. Quiet night. So Ron DeSantis is sending all these flyers out. I don't know why he's doing it. Charlie Crist doesn't have a chance. Doesn't have a chance. Now, Crist did something really stupid a couple weeks ago. Shot himself in the foot, big time. Says that Biden has the potential. Crazy Joe, Biden has the potential to be the greatest president in our lifetime. Are you serious? This idiot said that. Well, high inflation, Wall Street roller coaster, 401ks that are losing thousands of dollars. Charlie shot himself in the foot with that stupid statement. He's not electable. I mean, again, if this one is stolen, it's flat out stolen, and it's done for a reason. They are trying to push the MAGA people, the supporters, to unravel, come undone, take violence. And that could be the whole plan. That could be the whole plan. I haven't heard anybody talk about that at all, but I've been thinking about this. A purposeful steal, a bold in your face steal of an election a second time around. Boy, how humiliating would that be? And we'd all stand around going, It was stolen. You know, there's three different things that you have to do to successfully steal an election. There's three things you got to do. First of all, you got to use the media. You got to have polling, and you have to have polling that's showing it's really, really, really close. And you have to have a poll that's just right before the election. You use that media, you spin the story. If it's a tight race, it's going to be close. Second thing you do is you have no exit polling. You have no exit polling, so nobody will never know how you voted. Probably how John McCain got in Arizona. And number three is you manufacture a computer glitch where the votes on both sides got canceled and we don't really know, but so we're just going to stick with the result. That's pretty much the rules of how to steal an election. Those three right there. Now, they're saying to vote, if you're going to vote, vote on the day, right up to the point there. Vote on that day. Don't mail in your ballots. Don't vote early, because you'll give them time to figure out the numbers and play with the numbers and decide how many votes, how many ballots do they need to stuff to win this election. There's some understanding to that rationale, to vote on the same day and forget the mail-in ballots and early voting. It kind of makes sense that it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them to do that. But I think if they're going to steal it, and they're intending on stealing it, they're going to steal it, just like they did this last time. And we know state by state now are doing the forensic audits, and they're coming back and saying, well, yeah, there's a lot of fraud. We had 2,000 mules. That didn't get enough attention. I think it should have. Speaking of which, you have a few more days left to watch the Real Anthony Fauci movie.com at the website there. And I think there's like a couple more days to go. I'm going to plan on watching that tomorrow. So I think I'm going to tell Ron to watch it so we can watch that together. Definitely some good stuff. No lawsuits flying over to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for writing the book and the documentary that came out to back up the book. Which tells me if there's no lawsuits of defamation, well, guess what? It's true. It's factual, or you'd sue. Flat out, that's how it works. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Mitchell in Memphis. Welcome, Mitchell.
What's going on, Steve?
It's a good day. I'm glad to be back in the chair. Glad to be back.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you mentioned about the FDA and the idea of eradication or getting rid of the FDA.
Yep.
Could we do sort of a hybrid? Would it be possible for the private sector in the marketplace, private sector entities, to set up FDA type facilities that would compete with the FDA?
I think what has to happen is
you've got to remove the government monopoly.
You have to remove government altogether. Government doesn't do anything efficiently. They don't.
Let me ask you this, Steve. Yeah. Could we the people, say for instance, could Lauren of Ohio put together a group, get some backers, set up a facility, and perform the functions of the FDA?
No, I don't think so. I think what you need is a collaboration of specialists. People like, that's what Dr. Peter McCullough and I were talking about, is the timing right now to form new boards, new agencies that are out of government reach, out of government touch, that are actually in the business of health.
That's what I'm talking about. Completely untethered, not associated with government at all. What I'm saying is, from an expertise standpoint, a knowledge-based standpoint, would it be possible for we the people, to do what the FDA does? I would maintain that yes. What's so special about those people at the FDA?
Well, they've got science degrees behind them, doctorates.
Well, couldn't you go find people with science degrees to set up a private sector FDA-type system?
Yeah, you could, and that's what I'm talking about. You have to have disciplined people. You have to have people with education to do that, yeah.
Okay, so the first thing that we have to have is we have to remove the people in the United States need to understand that it is possible to do this, but we have to remove the monopoly status that the government has in regards to providing the functions and services of society. I was looking at the plea bargain, and I recognize that plea bargain to me is awful. The whole plea bargain process, it's a nasty, it's twisting people's arms, holding people into duress to say they're guilty so they can get less time and so forth. Right. And I realized that that they started this plea bargaining process around just after the Civil War. Well, and then I recognized that in 1776 you had a population of like 2.5 million people. In the first census of what would that be, 1790 or so, you had, I think, 3.9 million people. In about 1870, just after the Civil War, you had 38 million people. Now, what's happening is the reason they started doing plea bargains is because they don't have the ability to take these cases. Jury of your peers and so on and so forth. We the people are being violated in regards to the 6th, 7th, and 8th Amendment because the system cannot handle the caseload.
They couldn't handle the
caseload when we had 38 million people. You know they could. In the 75% of the cases were done by plea bargain in around 1970 when the Supreme Court adjudicated this and maintained that it was constitutional. Now we're talking about 90%+ of the cases are done by plea bargain. It shouldn't be constitutional. They said, well, the Supreme Court said, as long as the people volunteer. Well, wait a minute. You know, you're saying, well, you consented to it. Well, yeah, but you were under duress.
Well, I agree with you. I agree, but it's going to take science. It's going to take science discipline to actually form these boards.
Okay, the reason I brought up plea bargaining is because that's a case of the judicial system. And what's happening now, the Supreme Court's ruling on something on the basis of protecting the state, first and foremost. Because those Supreme Court justices knew in 1970, they knew if we say the plea bargaining process is unconstitutional, we're going to collapse our judicial system. They knew that. And so first and foremost, they were protecting the state. It's the same thing with police having no protective. It's the same rationale in 1855. They said, we've got to change this definition of protecting the people, you know, and that's where they say, well, the police have no duty to protect because it was going to collapse the system. So it begs the question, you know, should the Supreme Court, is it more important for them to protect the system, or are they so supposed to, according to the quid pro quo social compact, they're supposed to be protecting we the people?
Yeah, they're exactly what they are. They're not supposed to reinterpret. They're supposed to, the law is the law, and they've brought in politics and their own personal feelings into the law. And they've been swayed by who knows how much money is under the table here to get these justices to look another way, to support an industry or corporation, fascism. They're certainly not working in our best favor, no doubt about that.
When I bring up the FDA, when I talk about we the people and the private sector in a competitive marketplace, I say that we could also handle a lot of court cases, people's courts, especially at the lower end of it. What we have now is this system, it can't handle the needs of society. Like I said, when they devised this and implemented this with the Constitution in the final draft in 1791, mm-hmm. you had 3.9 million people. You now have a third of a billion human beings. This system cannot accommodate that,
yeah,
and they don't
I
want
agree.
To admit it. That's why I brought up the whole plea bargain thing. The FDA, all of these
yeah.
institutions that the government, they can't do what needs to be done. So we the people are being violated left or right.
Yeah,
and then
if
the Supreme Court decides to even choose pick a case, the Supreme Court will just protect the state constantly.
you make a good point. I get what you're coming from. And I like I said, that's why the conversation I had with Peter McCullough is the timing now for the medical establishment outside of government reach start to formulate their own committees, their own boards. that actually follow the rule of law and rule of medicine here in science. True science. I mean, we've seen bunko science from day one when it came down to COVID. It's time now to maybe formulate our own committees, our own boards, and move away.
Well, the last thing I'll say is that if you had a private sector entity doing what the FDA does and competing in the marketplace, what would happen is people would say, first of all, you could hold them accountable. And then what might happen is over time, the FDA's seal of approval and the private sector's seal of approval, people would start choosing, just like what was about to happen with JFK's notes. And the people eventually were going to choose the Kennedy notes as opposed to the Federal Reserve notes. Yeah, but what would happen is the FDA would just slowly start to disappear by way of attrition. And this would be another situation or understanding of when you talk about the Declaration of Independence, throw off such a government. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be. This would be a way to begin that process of throwing off the government. We don't want the government. We don't need the FDA providing these services because other people can do it in the private marketplace.
I agree.
First and foremost is that the people of this country have to understand that you could go this route, and we have to get rid of this idea that only the government has that the government has a monopoly on providing these services and functions in society.
I like the way you think.
That we have to get over, but nobody's talking about it.
Mitchell, I like the way you think, and I'd like to keep going on, but I got three more callers. And I do agree with you 100%. It's time to phase out government when it comes down to our health. Thank you for the call. Jack in Montana, you've got two more behind you, so kind of make it fast.
Really, really quick. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Okay, first of all, as far as the government goes, certain parts of the country have been totally taken over. I live in Montana. I've been at it, the last 10 years. I have family back in New York. The blue states are screwed. So basically, my message to America would be this. If you live in a blue state, you got to get out. If you're kind of stuck there for whatever reason, mm-hmm. you have to stockpile food and do your best to ignore government edicts. I know it's easier said than done. For those of us that are living in rural areas or in red states, it's very, very important to network with like-minded people, try to be as self-sufficient in food as possible. Get a hold of some gold or at least some cash and get prepared for, if not a government meltdown, for certain disturbances. I do believe America is going to break up. That is our only hope. We are not the United States of America. We're the United States of America. People on the East Coast have no comprehension of the Midwest or the Northwest, and people down South don't understand what people are doing up North. And there's no dialogue going on. It's just kind of like, you either agree with someone or you're a racist and you're vilified. My children, unfortunately, I'm 65 years old, they're hardcore, brainwashed, leftist lunatics. And when I tell them that, I don't think it's right to have cross-dressers hang around kids because you're kind of implying that it's okay and you're confusing them. She called me a racist. Now, homosexuality and cross-dressing is not a race, it's a behavior. I have nothing against homosexuals.
That's right.
Be strong. I have nothing against cross-dressers. When I was in business back in Vegas in the 80s, you had the most gorgeous cross-dressers coming into the bathroom and urinating, and we don't laugh about it. They said they were guys that dressed like women. I found it amusing. Nobody beat them up or anything. Some of us thought it was strange.
Hey, Jack, I could let you go on longer, but I'm going to miss out my other two guys. But I do get your ideas. I get your points. I just wish you called a little earlier. And so thanks for the call. Need to move on here. Mike in Kentucky, you got one behind you, so make it quick.
Okay, great idea in Kentucky that totally got vanished as far as I know. I've never been able to dig and find out what happened, but in 2019, leading up to COVID, they had a bill that one other state, maybe Missouri, was in on, and they needed six different states to jump on board, but they were going to try to incentivize drug companies putting cures on the market. And they would share in the savings to these high-cost chronic illnesses that is bankrupting Medicare and Medicaid in all these states that's underfunded by the federal government. And so, poof, along came COVID, and I think everybody forgot about that. But it was a great idea to try to incentivize these drug companies to actually do something rather than treat symptoms. I'll let you go.
No, I appreciate that call. You're right. The industry is out of control. I don't think people realized how powerful the pharmaceutical industry is until we saw COVID and the pushing of these shots and the shots that don't work. and the continued push of these shots, I think people didn't realize that, wow, does the pharmaceutical industry really dictate our public health policy? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They bought everybody off. We're talking billions and billions and billions of dollars here. They are not to be trusted. They have no credibility anymore. We should never look to any recommendations from the NIH, the CDC, or the FDA. Back to another caller, our last caller. It looks like James in Vancouver, you're on.
Yes, I heard that we've had 25 million people die of these so-called vaccines this year. Did you hear that number?
Yeah, at least that. At least that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you double that for the next 10 years until 2030, then you're going to have your population down to 500 million. I think this is a Dr. Strangelove operation. It's being done by the military all over the world. So,
you know, it's sad that you found so many world leaders. Yeah. So many world leaders to go along with this evil plan.
Right. Well, they're under pressure to do it. So I was going to call in earlier today. But, yeah, by 2029, you'll have about 500 million left if you double it every year. So.
Yeah. James, okay, thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Hey, that completes our show. Back again on Monday with Mr. Rob McDonald in that second hour for the National Intel Report. Thank you for listening. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night.
Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the